And joining me right now here on the phone line for Tuesdays, he always does. He's my good friend John Ferry up there in Jacksonville with Sports Now. John, how you doing today?
Mark, doing great. Just trying to stay dry. It's a rainy Tuesday in Northeast Florida, but Gator basketball starting to get into its gear, and the NFL playoffs are moving along. Unfortunately, without the Jacksonville Jaguars, but still very interesting games.
Just remember, every time it rains down here in Florida, that means it's snowing horribly in the rest of the country. Don't forget it.
That's true. I've talked to folks in Ohio over the weekend, 15 degrees. I saw those games at Kansas City and at Buffalo. I'm going to be grateful for the rain. That's a very good point.
I thought of you when the Pittsburgh Steelers were playing last night. And, you know, they were in the game at Buffalo. They were there. But I'm like, this is ridiculous. And I just start getting angry because I'm like, the Jaguars should be in the playoffs. Man, you know what? I know we hammered them last week. I'm still angry. The choke job by Jacksonville. I hope you know that.
Well, not only the Steelers, but the Jaguars beat both those teams in that playoff game last night because they beat Buffalo in October over in London. And then they beat the Steelers up in Pittsburgh. So, trust me, I'm angry, and a lot of folks in Northeast Florida are still angry. And watching the Houston Texans dismantle the Cleveland Browns, we're thinking the Jags might have had a shot with that Cleveland on the road because Cleveland was not nearly as good on the road as they were at home. So, it's going to be a long off season, as I stated last week, Mark, when it comes to the Jaguars.
How impressed were you by Houston's performance where they just blew out the Cleveland Browns?
Very, especially C.J. Stroud. He just gets better by the week. It's hard for me to believe he's a rookie, which I guess at the end of your rookie season, maybe you're not. But still, it's incredible what he's done. This is a team that, quote-unquote, was rebuilding this year, and they've done a great job in the draft, not just C.J. Stroud, but Will Anderson, Nico Collins at wide receiver, Tank Dell, who's out for the year but was a great receiver before he got hurt. And they're going to be the favorites for the foreseeable future, it would appear, Mark, at least going into next year for sure in the AFC South. But I was really impressed with what the Texans did, and I think they've got a chance this upcoming Saturday. I know they got to go up to Baltimore. That's going to be a tough one, but I wouldn't take the Texans lightly after what I saw last week.
All right, so you're building a team. You think of Cleveland. You look at Houston. You don't know what to do with Watson. Cleveland calls you up because they're insane. They give you 3 first-round picks and more picks, and then you have the worst record pretty much, worst or second-worst record last year. And you just flipped it around. So my question for you, and I already know the answer, did they win the Deshaun Watson trade, the Houston Texans?
By a landslide. They definitely won. And they saved themselves millions and millions of dollars. The Browns are into $230 million guaranteed for Deshaun Watson, which I still can't believe they gave him that contract. But the Texans won the trade, and I think for the foreseeable future – are going to benefit from it on the field in the standings because all that young talent they were able to acquire with the draft picks they got. And, of course, they hit it right on the quarterback, it would appear. Obviously, it looks right now like they got the best quarterback in this last draft class that came out, no doubt about it.
Let's clarify this, though, 1 year later. Wasn't Bryce Young universally the pick at number one over C.J. Stroud a year ago?
I don't know if I'd say universally, but I'd say he was above the rest, yes. There were more saying him than anybody else that came out. The only knock on Bryce Young was he's very slender, pretty small. But having said that, he was still the leader in the clubhouse, as they say. No doubt about that.
It's wild to think about. It really is. So you like John Ferry. You think the Texans have a chance against Baltimore this weekend?
I do. The Ravens haven't played in a couple of weeks. They got the bye, which you never know how a team's going to react when they come out of that. It's supposed to be an advantage, which I think it is, but still, we'll see. Texans are playing with house money. I think we saw what teams can do like that, like the Green Bay Packers in Dallas, when you're playing with no expectations, meaning basically everybody is going to be picking the Ravens to win the game. And I think with C.J. Stroud, if they can protect him, the Houston offensive line, they've got a shot to pull it off. I do. I mean, they've got to give him protection. He's got to have time. But if he does, I think the Texans are going to give the Ravens a very good game on Saturday afternoon in Baltimore.
I think Baltimore, we got to see what the spread's going to be. And look, that could change during the week. I think the cold weather and home field advantage is going to help Baltimore in this one. It's one thing you're in that dome, perfect weather, and Cleveland's really a fraud. I kind of like Baltimore, but you're right. We don't know. You bring up Buffalo. They pretty much survived Pittsburgh. I thought they'd dominate that game more. They don't. They do win the game in the snowstorm. They now have Kansas City. This time it's in Buffalo. What do you think of this matchup, John Ferry?
This is going to be the most intriguing one of the weekend to me, Mark, because Kansas City and Buffalo have had monumental playoff games in the past with Kansas City winning each time. That's the first time they've ever played in Buffalo during the Patrick Mahomes stretch, though. In fact, it's the first road game Kansas City's had to play on in the playoffs since Patrick Mahomes became quarterback. It's unbelievable.
What?
I think Buffalo's got to play better than yesterday, though, to pull it off next Sunday, even though they've got the home field. Because like you, I thought they would put that game away earlier than they did yesterday against the Steelers. Now, they jumped out to a 21-point lead, but then they kind of let the Steelers hang around. Some special team gaffes, a blocked field goal, and eventually late they did put it away. They're not going to be given the luxury of making those kind of mistakes against Kansas City. And I know the narrative all year has been this is not the Kansas City of old, and they haven't played like the Kansas City of old, but they've still got Patrick Mahomes, and they've got a defense that hasn't been this good throughout the entire five-year run of Patrick Mahomes. So I think Kansas City can go in there and pull it off myself on Sunday night.
Do you think it'll be high-scoring or low-scoring type game?
I think it's going to be high scoring. Now, I say that not knowing what the weather's going to be for Sunday night. That would be the addendum to it. Yeah. I mean, they're in the middle of a snowstorm or something, which they could be. But that aside, it's been high scoring games with these teams in the past. So I'm going to go with the odds. I think it's going to be a high scoring affair on Sunday up in Orchard Park.
Kansas City got the win against Miami in one of the coldest games. So what did they say? Fourth overall coldest playoff games. How disappointing was Miami down the stretch and then not even showing up in that football game?
You know, I compared it to the Jaguars in a way, Mark, because they did get in the playoffs. That's the difference. But they really let a golden opportunity get away. They should have won the AFC East to begin with. They got blown out by Baltimore 56-19. They lost to Buffalo the last Sunday of the regular season. And then it was as if they didn't want to be there Saturday night. The offense was virtually non-existent. I know there was a point in the fourth quarter where they only had 15 yards of offense in the second half. They basically did nothing in the third quarter. And other than a Tyreek Hill catch and run for a touchdown, they didn't do anything all night offensively. And I know about the -4 and the temperature, but both teams were playing out in it, and I thought Miami would put up a better performance than they did. I was disappointed. The tackling was not great on defense either. It just looked like a team that didn't want to be there. They weren't very inspired Saturday night.
Here's what's weird about that comment, and I agree with you. We're here with John Ferry. So, look, it's one of the coldest games ever, and they're used to 70-degree weather in Miami. I get it. They can't handle the weather. But Philadelphia went to nice weather last night in Tampa and acted just like the Dolphins, like they didn't want to be there. And they weren't tackling. They didn't show up. Were you stunned or shocked by what happened last night there in Tampa?
I was shocked. I knew Philadelphia was struggling going in, but I thought they would put up a much better performance than what I saw last night. And you mentioned the tackling. That was the first thing that stood out to me with the Eagles as well last night. They lost 32-9. They lost five out of their last six. They were 10-1 at one point this season, a team that narrowly lost the Super Bowl a year ago. I think there might be some internal issues there. I don't know what's going on with that team because it's inexplicable. There's too much talent there to fall apart the way they did. And no disrespect to Tampa, but Tampa to me is not that good. I mean, they did win the NFC South, and I give them all the credit in the world. They beat Carolina 9-0 the week before. So for Philadelphia to lay a complete egg like that and lose 32-9, I couldn't believe it. And really, it was kind of the narrative of the weekend, other than the Rams-Detroit game, Mark. All these other games were big disappointments as far as you expected better contests than you did. The Dallas Cowboys, I don't know what happened there. I still can't explain that one with Green Bay. You mentioned Cleveland and Houston we talked about. The Browns were a big disappointment. The Dolphins, and then, of course, the Philadelphia Eagles. So I'm hoping we get much more competitive games for the divisional playoffs this upcoming week.
Okay, if you look at it, we're here with John Ferry. All right, Browns were favored, they lost. Chiefs favored, they won. Bills were favored, they won. Cowboys favored, they lost. Detroit favored but did not cover. And the Eagles were favored and they lost. So the moral of the story, John, is don't gamble on NFL playoff games. How about that?
Amen. Absolutely. Do not. As far as Detroit, that was a great game, though. That game kind of went the way I expected, except I thought the Rams might win going in.
Yeah.
But I knew that was going to be a back-and-forth game. That was kind of a coin flip, that game. Hats off to the Lions. I'm happy for that fan base. It's been over 30 years since they had a home playoff game. That is just crazy. And now they get another one. Because of Dallas losing, they're going to get to host Tampa Bay on Sunday. So, but other than the Rams-Lions game, the rest of the weekend was a big disappointment to me. I just expected a lot more competitive games than what we got.
It's crazy, and I know you're going to hate this. So you enter December. The Jaguars were 8-3. The Dolphins are right there as well. Jaguars and Dolphins are competing for the one seed in the AFC and home field advantage. The Buccaneers, I think, might have been 4-7 going into December. 4-7! I did not, if you go on the bingo card, the three teams in the state of Florida going into December and what we would see in January, there's no way I would have said Tampa Bay is still alive. Did you feel that way?
I did. I would never have thought Tampa would be the last team standing from the state of Florida going into the final eight. But hats off to Todd Bowles, Baker Mayfield and company, and what they did this year. And it just puts more of an emphasis on how disappointing Jacksonville and Miami was down the stretch. Really, you don't know when you're going to get these opportunities. I said that about the Jags last week. I mean, you don't start out 8-3 many years. Well, that applies to the Miami Dolphins too. I mean, they had a two-game lead in late November, early December over Buffalo. They lost to the Titans on Monday Night Football. That was the game that really cost them the division, looking back on it.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows what happens next year? I mean, you hope you get yourself in those positions, but you know how the NFL is, and with attrition, injuries, free agency, you never know. So I think Miami and Jacksonville are going to have a lot of regret in this offseason, the opportunities they let get away.
Okay, here's my thing. And we're here at John Ferry Sports now. Does a great job with his show and, you know, covering Gators and Jaguars. There's 31 losers every year in the NFL. Only one team wins. The Jaguars had a good last year. They disappointed this year. Even the Dolphins. All right, back-to-back years. You got to take a step back. You got to breathe. They've improved. Now, how can we get better this offseason? You can't just blow it up. That's what it feels like. Dallas, blow it up. Philly, blow it up. Miami, don't you feel like you got to take a step back, John? breathe and then see how we can get better next season.
Absolutely. And, of course, it depends on what owner you have. With
yes.
Jacksonville's owner, Shad Khan, he's a very patient man. He let Gus Bradley coach for 4 years in Jacksonville with the worst record, one of the worst records ever in NFL coaching history. So I think they are going to take a step back. There's no doubt, Mark. They definitely need to hit better on the draft, because this last year's draft for the Jags was miserable, other than Anton Harrison, the first-round pick. They've got to pick up some key pieces in free agency, but I don't think the Jags are going to blow it up. I do think the Dallas Cowboys are going to do some major changes, though. I think Mike McCarthy's probably going to be fired later this week, but that's another story for another day. But I think the Jags are going to stay internally close to the vest, make some personnel changes, but I don't expect them to blow it up up here.
I'm putting my foot down. This is the new rule on my show. Enough with the Cowboys. I don't care anymore. The Jaguars have accomplished more in the last couple of years. Like, just, I don't care. It's 12 months of this nonsense. They can't even get to the NFC Championship game. It's been 30 years. I don't care. So, like, you know, yesterday the national shows, they're just trashing the Cowboys. I didn't even watch. I don't care anymore. How about you, John?
It gets old, that's for sure. And the Cowboys, quote-unquote, America's team, which I hate to hear that, but it's like those national shows forget that there's 31 other teams in the league. I know what you're saying. It does get nauseating after a while. And it's growing thin, as they say, and it's wearing out with me as well.
Yeah, why would you even take the job there? You're not going to win. It's the same team. What? You know what? I don't care. Let's end with this. All right, Gators play tonight. It's an early game because of snowstorm conditions. Because that, like I said at the top, that's the whole country except us. They won on Saturday. They played Kentucky close. What do you think of this team right now?
I think it's a good team. I think it not a great team. I think Todd Golden's done a lot in the transfer portal. There are times when they can't make any outside shots, and I think that's when they really struggle. They got a big victory over Arkansas this past Saturday, a must win, because they were 0-2 in the SEC. I think they're going to get into the big dance this year, but I think they're going to have a tough time tonight at Knoxville. I don't think they're going to win this one against the Tennessee Volunteers. This would be a major resume builder if they could pull this one off. The Kentucky loss hurts, looking back on that a couple of weeks ago, because they led that game for about 90 to 95% of it. And, boy, you'd really like to have that one in the win column. But having said all that, I think they're probably a 500 team in the SEC, which means 9-9, which would get them to 19 wins overall. Maybe they get a win in the SEC men's basketball tournament. And I think they are going to be in the big dance in March this year.
I went to that UCF game last week when they upset Kansas. That's the first time I've ever been around a court storming. Have you ever been to a court storming in person?
I have not. And hats off to UCF, by the way. What a monumental win for them to beat Kansas. But I have not been to a field or court storming. That is one thing at the University of Florida you never see.
No.
So funny you bring that up. I mean, in all the years I've been covering Gators football and basketball, I have never seen that one time. You would have thought maybe somewhere I would have. Now, the one place I was at, so I guess I'll take that back, at Florida State, not this past season, but the season before, they did, when Florida State beat Florida, which took me back, because Florida was only 6-6 that year, but they did storm the field when that game was over. That surprised me. So I guess I have been at one, but it
on
was
the opposite.
It was not in Gainesville.
Yeah, on the opposite end, as you've seen. All right, then.
Exactly.
Is there a moment, like, for Gators basketball, like a big win, where it was like this is a gigantic win at the O-Dome?
Well, they've beaten a number one ranked Auburn a couple of years back.
That's right.
First time they had ever done that. They've had some big wins over Kentucky in years past. Not in a while, not in the last 3 years, but they've had those wins as well. And they, in fact, beat Ohio State at the O-Dome. I'm going back to the 04s in, I believe, late 2006. They beat Ohio State in the regular season and wound up playing them again and beating them in the national championship game in basketball. That was the year they beat Ohio State in football and basketball, but also beat them in the regular season in Gainesville in basketball. So they had Ohio State's number back then.
It's a long time ago now, which is shocking to say. It is. His name is John Ferry with Sports Now. My man, thank you so much for your help, and have a great day.
Mark, always great to be on. Everybody out there, stay safe with the weather.